We sang a song this morning. One of the phrases in the song, we were speaking to God in this song, and we said, when you draw near, you change the atmosphere. And that's right. That's what this message is about this morning, is when we draw near God and He draws near us, it literally changes the atmosphere around us, and it changes us. The topic of the message this morning is Moses' health. And how do we get to that? You'll see. Okay. Spence made mention of that song in worship, and he said, you know, that's a two-sided coin. Not only when we draw near to God does He change our atmosphere, but when we draw near to God, we change His atmosphere too. That's the message of our time. This message that God wants us to draw near to Him. He wants us to come into close, intimate fellowship with Him. He's wooing us like a lover, and He wants us to grow deeper in His love and deeper into His presence. He's telling us that He loves spending time with us, that He wants to live inside of us in a tangible way. He's saying to His church, I want to be intimately close with you, and I want to draw you even nearer to myself. I want you to be around me. That's His message. This is the move of the Holy Spirit today. There was an article in the Observer yesterday. It was talking about, I think the title of it was Holy Yoga. The idea was folks were using a sort of a Christian version of yoga as a framework to bring themselves into a time of praise and worship and to be able to soak in the presence of God. Well, today I have a twist on this prophetic message to the church of our time, this message about how God wants to have intimacy with us. Today we're going to look at a way of spending time in God's presence that actually has great benefit to you, has benefit to your health, and benefit to your longevity. I want to tell you today about Moses' health and what it means, and I want to show you a key ingredient to Moses' health, okay? Now, what do I mean when I say Moses' health? What's that term I'm using? One of the things that I pray over our parishioners every day is a prayer of healing, but I also then pray that the Lord will bring them into a place of Moses' health. They used to call this, back in the olden days in the charismatic circles, they called it divine health. For years, I used that term, but then I realized, no, this term, Moses' health, is a much better term, and I want to show you why. Turn to Deuteronomy 34. I want to show you what I mean by Moses' health. Deuteronomy 34. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning. This is the last part of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34, starting in verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And God buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth-peor. But no man knows where his burial place is to this day. Now listen to this. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. It appears that Moses wasn't subject to sickness or deterioration, you know, the normal aging process that most folks go to. He lived to 120 years, and then the Lord just took him home. He didn't get sick and die. You know, like Jesus, Moses laid down his perfectly healthy life, and his spirit was released to go spend eternity with God. And that's the way I want to go out, you know. I want to live another, say, 55 very healthy years, and then just lay down and go to sleep and wake up in the presence of the Lord. Moses' health means that God somehow changes our bodies, just like He did Moses' body. God sends His resurrection power through our bodies so that we're not subject to sickness, we're not subject to disease, decay, imbalances in our hormones, all those kind of things, or at least we're less subject to those things. That resurrection power of Jesus kind of blocks and reverses any kind of generational curses that we're operating under, repairs our cells on the DNA level, if you will, if necessary, you know, so that we can live our lives according to the design spec that God's Word really originally spoke about us. Each one of us has the Word of God, which is our design spec. This is who we are. I don't think that includes sickness and disease. I think that Moses' health means that God sends the resurrection power of Jesus into our body to repair our bodies, to repair damage that's been done through sickness, injury, wrong medications. And that's what I mean when I'm talking about Moses health. How can you get to a place of Moses health? Wouldn't it be nice to always be in good health and be strong? Wouldn't it be nice? Is the secret to that kind of life somehow in how Moses lived? I think it is, and I think we're going to find a key ingredient to that. I want to lay some groundwork before that, though. There have been several scientific studies. Actually, there have been a lot of scientific studies in the last few years, and the conclusion is always that Christians who attend church regularly are in better health than those who don't. And the statistics are anywhere from 15 to 25%, depending on the study. That's a lot. There's a hospital in Tennessee. They have a large contingent of Christian doctors there. I watched a video the other day of some of these doctors, and they were talking about some of the studies that had been done there in their hospital and other hospitals that showed that people who were prayed over had statistically significant better outcomes in whatever their procedures were than those who weren't being prayed over. And as a matter of fact, these doctors said, they said, if a doctor or hospital does not include prayer over the patient as part of the treatment, they should be subject to malpractice suits for negligence. This is that significant, the difference in treatment. You know, you look at a lot of these depression medicines that people take, you know what the statistical significance of those drugs is? Sometimes it's in the 5, 10, 15% category. If it's a whole lot, I mean, if it's a drug they advertise all the time, it's really the greatest drug that ever was, it's 20% or 25%. Prayers like that all the time. Why aren't we doing more of that? There was an article in the Observer, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. There was a fellow named Frank Newport. He was with the Gallup poll. He'd been doing a Gallup poll on religion in America. Let me read to you what he said. We have separation of church and state in this country, but the correlation between religion and well-being has been established by Gallup and many other organizations. The question is causality. Maybe healthier people just choose to be more religious. Well, I don't think that's the case. I think it is the other way around. Because we are serving Almighty God, our bodies are changed so that we're not as sick. Anyway, he goes on to say, but it's clear that religious people are less of a drain on our mental and physical health systems. So a company may want to give discounts for employees who attend church 4 or 5 times a month, just like many give discounts for employees who go to the gym. If America were to become more religious, and I know this is controversial to say this, but if America were to become more religious, it would become healthier. So the point is that there's already significant scientific evidence that says if you serve God, you're going to be more healthy anyway. Well, I do. I want to live a healthier life. I want to have real Moses health, okay? What's the mechanism for better health? What makes Christians healthier? What can bring us to a place of Moses health, okay? How did Moses live anyway? I mean, obviously serving God and living for Him puts us on a path of better health. But you know, I don't want just a little bit better health. I don't want to ever get sick again. I don't want to have my eyes dim. I want to live another 55 years with great strength, just like Moses did. Of course, there are things you can do to improve your health. I mean, you know, you lose weight, exercise, eat right, take your vitamins, stop smoking, don't be a couch potato, stop trying to imitate Evel Knievel, right? I mean, you know, we know all these things, right? And I think it's hard for God to bless our health when we are purposely, knowingly doing things to harm our health. But you can't do enough on your own to have Moses' health. I mean, maybe Moses did take his vitamins and eat right and exercise regularly. I don't know. But that wasn't enough. It's just not enough. There's a supernatural component to Moses' health that goes beyond what we can do for ourselves. Yes, we ought to do for ourselves, but that's not enough. I'll tell you a story of a lady who always was very conscious of her health. She always did everything she could to live right, eat right, especially when she got into her 80s. I mean, she looked and acted like she was in her 60s. She took supplements, she exercised regularly, she walked at a fast pace, you know, she was determined that she wasn't going to get old. But when she turned 84, she was struck with an insidious disease that she contracted, something called vasculitis. And essentially, the way they described it was, her body decided that her blood vessels were a foreign object, and her immune system began to attack her blood vessels and then eventually attack all the other organs in her body. And she went, within 6 months, she went from being the picture of perfect health to bedridden for 2 weeks to death. And she couldn't stop that. No matter what she had done right for her health, just wasn't enough. And that's the moral to this story. You ought to do everything you can, and it's right for your good health, but your efforts aren't enough to ensure health and longevity. If God doesn't somehow touch and change our bodies despite our best efforts, then we're just not going to be able to enter into this place of Moses' health. So what can God do to move us at least closer to Moses' health? What can I do to allow me to be brought at least closer to this place of Moses' health? What did Moses do to get blessed with Moses' health? Turn to Exodus 34, and I want to show you something. Let me tell you a story about where this got started. I was in the Bat Cave. That's my home office down in the basement where I work and pray. And, you know, I've been in the presence of God a lot of times. I love to soak in the presence of God. You know what it's like. You get in that the presence of the Lord, and it's just thick. You can just feel God's there. You just feel like, man, God could do anything. If right now I prayed for somebody, I know they'd be healed. I know God. I could believe God for any kind of miracle right now because that you're in this presence of God. Well, I was in the Bat Cave and was kind of in that place of prayer, and I was just standing there like this, with my arms out wide, my head back, just like you might stand in the sunlight and soak up the rays of the sun. And that's the way I was feeling. It was like the rays of God were coming down on me, and I was just soaking up the rays of God. And the Lord spoke to me in that situation, and he said, this is where Moses' health comes from. I'd been seeking him about that. He said, Moses spent so much time in my glory and in my goodness that he literally changed how his body functioned. Those long doses of my glory and my goodness reversed the negative effects of the fall and sin and of life. The doses of God's glory and goodness reversed the processes of aging and sickness in Moses. So what's the secret ingredient to Moses' health? It's getting in the strong presence of God and soaking in his glory and goodness. When you're in his presence, you're literally absorbing, I think, a kind of radiation. You're going to see this from the scripture. And it's a radiation that brings you into a place where you're subject to less sickness, you're less affected by age in life, and you're more likely to heal. So Exodus 34, we're going to start in verse 29. I want to explain the scripture. I'm not going to go into the physics of radiation, okay? We're not going to talk about bosons and how bosons carry force and photons carry energy. We're not going to get into the nuclear physics here. But read this as if you were reading an article from the newspaper today and think about how you might think about this. Exodus 34, 29 through 30. And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses didn't know that his skin, the skin of his face, shone. That is, it was glowing because of his speaking with God. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. So what would you think if you read an article about somebody whose skin is glowing? Not just glowing in the dark, but in the daylight. I mean, you know, if fire glows, right? Do you excite those atoms enough with the heat? Get a piece of steel or iron and get it hot enough, it'll glow red, it'll eventually glow almost white. You know, there's radiation coming off of that because it got so hot. That couldn't have been the source of Moses' skin glowing because Moses wouldn't have survived getting red hot, right? What about you irradiate something with enough radiation that it actually starts to glow? You know, that's possible. Gun sights that glow in the dark have a little radiation in them that keeps the phosphorus going. But if you irradiated someone enough they glowed in the dark, what do you think might happen to them? How long do you think they would survive that process? That probably wouldn't make them live to 120 in perfect health, would it? No. So it's some other kind of radiation. The atoms of his skin were irradiated by something that caused them then to shed photons, to be energetic, to glow. He had to put a veil over his face to keep from scaring people. Imagine Moses' wife, "Turn over, Moses, I can't sleep, it's too bright in here, put something over your face." I mean, you know, go down to verse 33 and 34. "When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he'd take the veil off until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke with the sons of Israel, what had been commanded, he had to put that veil back on his face." So what made Moses' face glow? Let's turn back to Exodus 33 and look in verse 18. It says, "Then Moses said, 'I pray you, show me your glory.' And God responded and said, 'I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you and will be gracious to you and will show you compassion.'" When Moses says, "I want to see your glory," God says, "I'll show you my goodness." God connects those two together, right? Let's keep reading. "But he said, 'You can't see my face, for no man can see my face and live.'" Now, personally, the engineer physicist in me says, well, no, of course not. It's because this glory, this goodness that's radiating from God is so powerful that you get too big a dose of it, it'll kill you. And apparently the biggest dose has come off of his face. He said, "You can't see my face and live." And then the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me. You shall stand there on the rock. And I'll come about when my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock." That means there was a small cave entrance or indentation in the rock. And the idea was you get back in that slot in the rock. I'm going to put my hand over you as my face goes by you. And then after I pass by you, I'm going to release my hand so that then you can see my back. And that'll be enough. "And I'll come about while my glory is passing by. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll take my hand away and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see." I believe what we're seeing here is God's glory as a form of radiation. It's not a normal light. You know, light normally illuminates by reflecting off of things. In this case, this radiation was hitting Moses, was literally changing his body so that his body was giving off energy in the form of photons, lights. Turn to Luke 9. Let's see a New Testament example of this sort of thing. Luke 9. And verse 29, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration and says, "While Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face became different and his clothing became white and gleaming." That word gleaming there is flashing like lightning or sparking. Kids, don't listen to this right now. Have you ever put a piece of aluminum foil in a microwave and watched it flash and spark and stuff? That's, I think, matter of fact, Jesus, this radiation of this glory and goodness of God was coming out of Jesus. He's God, right? To the extent it was coming through his clothing. See, not only was Jesus glowing, his clothing was shining. Now, you know, we would just say, oh, he forgot to turn his LED flashlight off. You know, but they didn't have those kind of things in those days. This is a phenomena of photons being generated. And look at what it calls this, down in verse 32. "Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw," what? "His glory." See, they recognize this is the glory radiation, the goodness radiation of God. Turn to Revelation 21. Show you another example of this kind of radiation. Now, if you look in verse 10 and 11, you can see it's talking about the New Jerusalem. This is this big city that's coming down out of heaven from God. And it says in verse 11, "Having the glory of God, her brilliance is like very costly stone, a stone of clear jasper." Going to verse 21, it starts talking about the streets that are made of pure gold. It says they're like transparent glass. "And I saw no temple in this city, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it." See, it's an illuminating radiation. The sun out there is radiating light and other energy that's coming toward us. Well, in this New Jerusalem, God does that with this glory of His. The glory of God has illuminated, and the lamp is His Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of nations into it. Anyway, it's talking about God's glory becomes the source of light in the New Jerusalem. His glory, His goodness is radiating some kind of photons. I don't know what kind they would be. They're certainly not light, because they even pass through gold and make it look transparent. And it shines out from the city to the whole planet. It shines through the interior walls. So in your apartment in that city, whatever you're living in, you don't need a light, because the glory of God is just coming through the walls. We're talking about the glory and the goodness of God Almighty as a tangible form of energy. And I think Moses' health comes from being irradiated with God's goodness. When we get in the presence of God, when we literally soak in the radiation of God's goodness and His glory, that radiation may be produced in spiritual dimensions, but it has effects in these physical dimensions that we live in. I love to soak in the presence of God. I know that when I'm soaking in His presence, I'm also soaking in the goodness and the glory of God. I love worshiping here, because one of the wonderful things here, one of the gifts you've been given, is a gift that Spence has been given, and that's a gift of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help bring people into this place of worship, this soaking in the presence of God, and bring the glory of God into this place. These are the benefits of soaking in the presence of God. Moses got his perfect divine health from soaking in the presence, the glory, the goodness of God, I think. And I think Christians can have better health, if not Moses' health, from soaking in the presence, the goodness, the glory of God. Intimacy with our Creator changes us inside and out. Soaking in God's goodness and His glory brings God's grace into our lives to help us in this process where we're morphing into the image of Christ. That's where we're all going, right? That's a different sermon, I guess, but that's one of the things that this radiation of God helps us to do. Matter of fact, there's some interesting things about that. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, Paul talks a lot about that. We're coming into being the image of Christ, looking in a mirror, and he's talking about how the glory of God is helping us do this. Only, I don't think he understood it as the radiation of God's goodness, right? But that's exactly what it is. Maybe it's like being around a strong odor. You know how you get around strong odor and it kind of seeps into your clothing, and even though you may leave the area of the smell, the scent goes with you. Like the woman that catches her husband in adultery, you know, is that perfume. As the poet said, the song may be gone, but the melody lingers on. It reminds me of the time that my little brother got sprayed by a skunk. The skunk was long gone, but the melody lingered on, I assure you. Turn to Malachi 3, and I want to come in a back door of showing you how I was praying wrong about Moses' health. And it's similar to this situation in Malachi 3. I've been praying Malachi 3, 11 and 12, over our parish. It says, "Then I, God, will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, and you shall be the delightful land, says the Lord." And so I'm praying, Lord, rebuke the devourer from our stuff and from us and our finances, right? And then the Lord said, yeah, but what about verse 10? And so then I read verse 10. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now with this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I shall rebuke the devourer." What the Lord was saying was, there's a condition to that rebuking the devourer stuff. And that is that folks have to give that 10% that belongs to me, they have to give that to me. If they don't do that, I can't rebuke the devourer. So I changed my prayer for my people to say, "Father, to the extent that we tithe, rebuke the devourer from our stuff." Well, it's kind of the same way with Moses' health. I had been just praying, Lord, bring us into a place of Moses' health. Now I pray, Lord, draw us into your presence. Draw us into a soaking presence of God so that your goodness can penetrate into our bodies and bring us into a place of Moses' health. Well, I think there are lots of benefits to soaking in God's glory and soaking in his goodness, and one of those benefits is Moses' health. That's what we've been talking about today. And I'm not saying that if you spend lots of time soaking in God's presence that you're going to be completely healthy and live to 120. I'm sure there's more to Moses' health than just soaking in God's presence. You know, you need to do what's right. You need to eat properly, exercise, moderation, yada, yada. But you can't do enough to bring your body into this place of divine, godly Moses health. Only God can really give us Moses health. And I think that soaking in the presence of God, soaking in the goodness of God, will over time literally change our bodies, where we'll be less susceptible to sickness and less susceptible to disease. We'll be mentally more sharp. We'll be free from genetic defects and from generational curses. We'll be more healthy. We'll be more vigorous until the day that the Lord calls us home. Let God's goodness seep down onto the inside of you, and let his goodness work wonders that you could never accomplish on your own. If you want to have a time of intimacy with your spouse, what do? Do you go down to the den in the playroom where all the kids are? No. You get alone. If you want to have a time of intimacy with God, you're going to have to get alone. You're going to have to turn the TV off. You're going to put the newspaper down. You're going to have to set some time aside. Just say, Lord, I just want to be with you. I want to soak in your presence. I want to let that goodness just seep into me. I want to feel your presence and your love. I want you to feel my love for you. One last scripture. Turn to number 6. Because when I pray this prayer over you today, I want you to see it in a different light. Number 6. This is the classic priest's blessing of the people. Lord bless you, keep you. Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. It's number 6, starting in verse 23. See verse 25? The Lord make his face shine on you. Now you know what that means, don't you? I'll be praying, Lord, let your goodness and your glory shine on us. Irradiate us with your glory, with your closeness, with your goodness. So when I pray that blessing over you today, receive it that way. Okay? Amen.